Some views today on the economics of immigration. From Marketplace in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. It is the week that President Trump has been using his new executive authority to limit immigration in different ways. More border patrols and immigration agents. There's the wall with various options for paying for it, the president's chief of staff now says. And the White House will demand more of local police, Marketplace's Rima Crace reports.
Under the executive order, state and local law enforcement agencies will be given the power to enforce immigration laws. Gabriel Chin is a professor at UC Davis School of Law.
I think there are some agencies that are going to be eager to be more involved in immigration, and they will have a green light.
But there will also be many police agencies that are not so eager. Jerry Clayton is sheriff of Washtenaw County in Michigan.
We run a significant risk of driving the undocumented population farther into the shadow.
He says undocumented immigrants would be less likely to report crimes, and turning cops into immigration officers would strain relations between communities and police. Then there's the cost, says William Lopez. He's a fellow at the University of Michigan studying immigration.
We're essentially giving more tasks to these government departments at the same time in which we're shrinking their budget.
He says many departments are already overburdened. I'm Rima Crace for Marketplace.
The president could sign as early as today an order to limit refugees and immigration from some Middle Eastern countries. A reminder now on why people move. It can be war. It can be famine. It can also be grinding poverty. One man who's thought a lot about the economics of this is Kanayo Nwanze, president of the United Nations International Fund for Agricultural Development. We reached him in Rome. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you, David. It's my pleasure.
You argue that one part, an important part of the refugee crisis, is directly rooted in rural poverty?
Unfortunately, that is the case. If you look at the African landscape, economic growth has not transformed into social development because of a lack of investment in the rural areas. And so you find an increasing gap between the rich and the poor, and between the rural and urban space. And that is why the populations are migrating into urban cities and eventually migrating to Europe. We can stem the issue of migration, hundreds of people dying in the Mediterranean, if we make our rural areas more attractive for the young population to make a living.
And one could wait for economic growth alone to somehow address this problem. The old term is lift all boats. But do you think that policy needs to come to bear on this sweeping issue, really?
Yes. Economic growth alone will not improve the lives of poor rural people. We have to have targeted policies. This will involve policies and investments that increase agricultural productivity. They will expand rural employment so that particularly youth will find jobs, and also provide access to services and infrastructure. Basically, it means rural transformation.
So to transform these rural areas, give us a hint about some of the policies that might actually put a dent in this.
Essentially, these are policies that provide opportunities for rural people to make a living where infrastructure, roads, energy, social services, education, where they find exactly the same things, the same livelihoods that they would find in urban areas. If you look at Rwanda and Ethiopia, who have significantly reduced their rates of poverty, they have implemented policies that have rapidly transformed their rural areas and developed their rural agricultural sectors and associated industries. This means that our political leaders have to walk the talk and invest in rural transformation.
Thank you for this. Kanayo Nwanze runs the UN's International Fund for Agricultural Development. He has a book on the way called A Bucket of Water, Rural Pathways to Sustainable Development. Time to check the live market screens here. The 100 share index in London is up 0.1%, 2.5 hours before the opening bell on Wall Street. Dow and S&P futures are little changed. The 10-year Treasury yield is up at 2.51%. We'll be right back. In America, we have a tradition of taking to the streets to express political views. The Black Lives Matter movement, the Women's March in Washington last weekend, the anti-abortion march set for Washington this weekend, and Republican lawmakers in a growing number of states, including North Dakota, Minnesota, Washington, are pushing legislation to increase financial penalties for protesters. Marketplace's Marielle Segarra reports.
In Washington, Republican State Senator Doug Erickson introduced a bill that would increase prison time and fines for protesters who intentionally block commercial activity on railroads or highways, for example. He says, yes, the Constitution gives Americans the right to protest peacefully, but there's a limit.
If you want to take it to the next level, harm another individual, prevent them from being able to engage in economic activity, you need to be held responsible.
Lee Rowland at the ACLU says there are already state laws against traffic obstruction.
These tack on draconian penalties that would make the average law-abiding citizen who considered, say, going out to a march, think twice about going out there.
King Downing from the National Lawyers Guild says protesters are turning to more extreme measures because simple marching and chanting isn't working.
Civil disobedience has moved to new levels in order to get attention.
For now, anyway, the protesters have the attention of Republican lawmakers. In New York, I'm Marielle Segarra for Marketplace.
Our senior producer is Nicole Childers. Our digital producer is Janet Wynn. Stephanie Hughes produces Marketplace Tech. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.